Hello and salutations to all. This is another episode of Forward Past Thinking audio content. Your host, Jonders, here. And I'm very honored to have as my guest this week, you know and love him from his TV show, Fantasy and Friends TV's Adam Rank. Adam Rank, how the heck are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you so much for that wonderful introduction. I would say nobody knows me, and if they did, they probably don't love me, but it's very nice of you to say.
I know. You have the Rank amateurs out there. Plenty of people love you, right?
All six of them, yes. They're a fine bunch. I do appreciate it.
So you're six fans and my three fans. We have a good nine people listening now. That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, so there have been a lot of great rookie quarterbacks this year. We've had Dak Prescott. We've had Carson Wentz. But I want to talk about one that hasn't seen the field yet, Jared Goff. And what I want to know from you is that if you think one day he can rise to the level of play as the great L.A. Ram, as Dieter Brock, can he get to that level of fame?
Well, listen, Dieter Brock was a CFL legend, so I don't know if we should be besmirching him so much, but it is an L.A. tradition for our quarterbacks to, you know, fail or anything. If you look back, when I was a little kid, Jim Everett was our quarterback, who was actually pretty good. I don't think that the team was run very well, and the coaching staff kind of let him down. And you're like, hey, look, it's exactly what's going on now. It's like the Rams never left. It's the same stuff over and over again. If Jared Goff was with another system, with another coach, with another team, I would feel a little bit more confident, but it's the Rams, and it's Jeff Fisher, who's never really developed a quarterback. And before you smartasses start hitting me up with Steve McNair, dude, that guy persevered without Jeff Fisher. If he would have been on another team, he would have been one of the biggest superstars in NFL history. So let's pump the brakes there. I hope he gets an opportunity. I feel like at some point, it's a little disturbing right now. Not disturbing, that's a terrible way to put it, but it's a little...
worrisome?
I don't know. It's not worrisome, but it's like the Rams are 2-1, so it's like, oh no, like Fisher's really digging in now. If he can somehow find a way to finish 9-7, and that could possibly win this division with the way that the Seahawks are struggling and the Cardinals have some issues as well. So you're like, oh, don't do this. Don't let this team miracle a division title in a fluky way on a down year for the NFC West, which will keep Jeff Fisher here for like 30 years. It'll be awful. And so I'm a little worried. I hope, you know, who knows? Maybe he's going to get a chance. He'll go out there, prove us all wrong, I think. But that's the thing. Like, you look at Brissett, goes out there and plays, and everybody's like, well, maybe the Rams should give Jared Goff a shot. And you're like, yeah, but Brissett had Bill Belichick. Like, that's completely different. Like, it's not always going to work that way. But we'll see what happens.
My favorite thing about the Steve McNair at Football Life on NFL Network was how Jeff Fisher just talked about how he got out of the way. You know, Steve McNair is going to take naps. He's going to watch The Price is Right. And we're just going to roll him out on Sunday. So it wasn't, I don't know. I think you're right. I think Steve McNair went through Jeff Fisher. And another thing about Jeff Fisher, I think you can pencil him for 2 wins every year as a Russell Wilson fan. I think you just give him the 2 wins against the Seahawks at the beginning of the year, and he's going to try to get 6 or 7 more wins. I think that's his whole game plan going in, right?
Pretty much. He's got a floor of 6 wins, which is built in because he does so well against the division. It's one of those things, too. I always wonder, like, would the NFL be better off just, like, doing the college style, like, where your divisional record determines who goes to the playoffs? So if the Rams were, I don't know, like if they're 5-11, but 5-1 against the division, but they go to the, like, that would be awesome. Like, oh, I think that would be pretty cool. That would make those games exciting. There's a lot of ideas I have because, like, the NFL, and I wrote this in Like Dislike this week, because, like, the NFL always loves to tweak things. Like, they changed the Sunday Night Football song for, like, no reason. Like, the catch rule is ridiculous for no reason. Like, how about some pragmatic, like, cool things that would actually improve the game or make it a little bit more interesting? Because I hate when there's divisional games in the first month of the season. Like, don't put these big games this early in the year. What if you waited till week 5 for the first, that was the first week of divisional games, and you would call that rivalry week? Ooh, I actually nailed that. I usually stutter when I say that. But if they made it rivalry week, And it was just like a cool thing. And like, oh, you'd be fired up. You knew it was going to be the Cowboys against the Redskins, the 49ers against the Rams. Like, it would be a big thing because sometimes, like, around week five, like, as a Bears fan, my team might be eliminated. I might not care anymore. But if it was, you know, the special week, I'm not going to risk it again and say it. If it was that special week in week five, I would be all in and be like, okay, we're going to play the Packers this week. I want to see that game. And additionally, too, like this week, by the way, like there's bye weeks in week four. Are you kidding me? Like you have an even number of teams. Like there's no way that there should be a bye. Like here's what you do. Weeks 9, 10, 11, and 12. Those are your bye weeks. Two divisions each week. Boom, done and done. I've got it solved. This schedule seems so easy to make. Like, why do they make it so difficult? But I think I got. I don't even think that was close to the question you were asking.
Future Commissioner Adam Rank on the podcast.
Yeah, not a chance. But yes, it's nice to think about though.
Okay, so you won't be the commissioner. But what if I told you we have now entered a parallel universe where you are the GM of the Chicago Bears, and I'm gonna go right for it. What do you do about Cutler?
Is Cutler the quarterback on Earth 2 Chicago Bears? I don't know. Maybe
this is actually Rock? Earth 65. There is Spider-Gwen swinging around the streets of New York, and you are the Chicago Bears GM, and Jay Cutler is still the quarterback.
Okay, well, that's an interesting thing. What I would do, and I looked this up, I feel this is the year that they can cut him because all his bonus money's gone, so now it's just a straight cap hit, whatever you release him in. I would release him. It's one of those things where you look at the way the NFL has evolved, and we talked about it just a moment ago, with all these rookie quarterbacks who are coming in and playing very well. It just makes sense to invest in defense and make your defense as great as possible. Have a quarterback who doesn't make a lot of mistakes, works the field, makes smart decisions and things like that. Not that Jay Cutler is not a great quarterback or anything like that. And I really do like him, but his salary cap is just, it's way too much. It's way too much for the return. It's like, it's not worth it. You know, it's like, yeah. I like Taco Bell. I like Taco Bell when their burritos are 59 cents. But if you want me to pay $6 for a Taco Bell burrito, I'm not going to do that. That just doesn't make financial sense.
You know,
so I would rather allocate the resources to other things. And so I will look out and try to build that way. I feel maybe there would be a team out there who would want to take a chance on Jay Cutler. Maybe even this season if the quarterback goes down, or if let's say Carson Palmer can't go on. Like, because Carson Palmer, I've watched over the last couple of weeks, he's miserable. Like this will be the week that raises the red flag if he can't get it done. And perhaps,
but isn't it kind of just like the Rams thing though? I mean, is this really the week? Because they struggled against the Rams last year. I think they went 1-1, right?
Yeah, I'm sure that they did, but it's like, bro, you just got embarrassed in Buffalo. You got to come back home and play well. And if you don't, then I think it does make a serious, it does raise a serious red flag because that game in the NFC Championship game was awful. Like, you remember when Jake Delhomme had that meltdown against the Cardinals, the Kurt Warner Super Bowl year?
Yeah.
It was awful. Like, he never recovered from that, although he signed a huge contract with Cleveland. But, you know, he never recovered from that. So I would look at that and be really concerned that perhaps, you know, that hangover effect with Cutler, or excuse me, with Carson Palmer, is just there, and he might not get it. And this Cardinals team is very talented. They've got a great defense. They don't have a young quarterback who they're developing, but they might need to make a change. I don't know if they've – oh, I can picture the guy on the sideline making funny faces. Drew Stanton, yeah. I don't know if you would turn to him. I mean, maybe. I mean, if you look at the mold of NFL quarterbacks, I think Peyton Manning changed the game, like, by being horrible and their team still winning because their defense was – it was embarrassing. Like, that Super Bowl, like, I know all the Peyton Manning – like, last year's Super Bowl was perfect. Like, it was the best possible outcome for everybody. Because if you're a Peyton Manning fanboy and ignore everything he's ever done where he's folded in the past and been like, look, you want his second ring? Fine, you got it. You know what? It's on record. It's on paper. He got his second ring. I can never take that from you. But if you're somebody who actually watches football and understands that Peyton Manning doesn't play well against the best competition, folds in the clutch, does things of that nature. You're like, that was perfect Peyton Manning. Like, it was so embarrassing that they didn't want him to handle the ball at all. It was almost like the Bobby Boucher effect, where I thought that the Broncos were going to punt on third down. They're like, you know, we're just going to put our defense out there. Like, just don't make it worse. Like, don't just fall down. Take a knee. Just take a knee every time we'll punt. Grind some clock and do that stuff. So it was perfect. So I think that the model's there. And I think that the Cardinals would have to look at it and be like, all right, maybe we'll take a chance. And I don't know if this will eventually lead to teams not giving big money deals to quarterbacks or anything, but I would kind of hope so. I would like that a little bit more at least, but that's what I would do if I was the Bears. I would have to let Cutler, unless Cutler wants to play for like $5 million a year, I'd be like, sorry, dude, you're out. Invest. I mean, you look at the guys who they let go, and they let go of, Brandon Marshall, of course, and Martellus Bennett and Matt Forte. And it's like, instead of getting rid of three guys, maybe we should have just gotten rid of one, you know, and save some money there and kind of spread it around through everybody else. But
I don't know if this is relevant. I think that. Okay, I'm sorry for cutting you off, but I don't know if this is relevant, but I always feel bad for people like Forte, who on their second contract, they talk about staying loyal and they sign with the Bears for maybe a discount. And then that third contract comes around and they're like, well, sorry, you're too expensive. You have to leave. I always feel like that's a wasted, you know, 4 years for somebody like Matt Forte with, you know, no offense to your Bears, but they really, you know, probably weren't going anywhere. And Matt Forte was such a great talent that if he caught on with a team, I don't know, like a team like the Patriots 4 years ago, you know, he could have rings.
Yeah, probably multiple, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, it's disappointing. I know it's funny because, and I know this is a different sport, but the Angels, another team that I root for, is going through that similar situation with Jared Weaver, where he took a discount and did not hit the free agent market, and now he's coming to the end of his career and would probably maybe want to pitch one more year. And I hope the Angels do the right thing. They're like, okay, you were cool to us. We'll be good to you. We'll give you an incentive-laden deal. Because I don't think anybody else is going to pay him, but do it that way. And the Bears did the same thing with Brian Urlacher and Lance Briggs. And it's like, oh, man, sometimes it is disappointing. Devin Hester, like, it's disappointing. And you pay the quarterback that much? It's like,
yeah.
I don't know. I like Cutler, but all things being equal, if this was Madden and salaries didn't matter or anything like that, I think, all right, fine, Cutler's a good quarterback. We should keep him. But when you put it into the business of football, you're like, it's probably not the best investment to throw all this money at this one position.
Yeah. So back to Earth 65, do you think John Fox is the right guy? You are a powerful GM. You have control over the head coach. Do you think John Fox is the right guy to get you to the promised land?
Oh, he's gone.
Oh,
we got to let him go. No, I mean, like, I wish him well.
Okay.
The one thing about him, I don't know if watching that Super Bowl last year was disheartening to him or whatever, but I think his coaching style kind of lends himself to teams who are close, playing really well, and getting them to excel. So he's kind of a player's coach, and talking to some of the guys around here, you know, they say, oh, you know, he's more hands-off. You probably need somebody a little bit different in Chicago. I like that they did take a risk with Mark Trestman, not at the expense of not hiring Bruce Arians, which was ridiculous because I was all about Bruce Arians. I thought that was a slam dunk. I'm like, this guy showed that he can be he was the only coaching candidate who actually had coaching experience and showed that he can coach. Like, you can see it. He did it with the Colts. He was the coach of the year. Why wouldn't you want to hire the NFL coach of the year? I don't care how old he is. George Halas coached until he was 90 or whatever. Like, go for it. And
I would like to live in a world where Bruce Arians got Brandon Marshall, Alshon Jeffrey, and Forte and Bennett. I think that would be fun to watch, right?
That's Earth 16, and I'm trying to get there. That's what I'm trying to do. Hopefully Barry Allen can pick me up and take me there sometime. But, you know, but that's the one thing, though, with Fox, I hope that they will admit their mistake and be like, okay, because I think Ryan Pace, who's currently the general manager, you get to fire one head coach, typically. Mm-hmm. Like, the general manager gets to fire one guy. I think he can sell that he's got some young pieces on defense. They're besieged by injuries. Like, okay, it's not terrible. Like, there's some nice, and explicitly, if Jordan Howard comes out and plays well, like, hey, we've got a nice young running back. We just need to go into the draft and draft a quarterback, and I'm going to need to hire a coach who can help develop this quarterback. And so I don't know who that would be off the top of my head, because every time I look, because it's bad, your season's bad when you are Googling hot coaching candidates for 2017 during an actual NFL game, and it's week two.
A lot of the names
that you see out there are defensive guys, and maybe actually that is probably the best way to go. Look at someone like Terrell Austin, or perhaps going and grabbing one of the coordinators from Seattle or Carolina or whatever, and going that way, and just finding an offensive coordinator who you trust. Is like, look, bro, you got it. You run the whole thing. You make it work, and hope that that works out like that. Or else, you know, if you can. Otherwise, I don't know who the hot offensive. You know,
Is it Kyle Shanahan? Yep.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sorry. I'm misremembering this. I even wrote it in like this week. It's like, yeah, go hire Kyle Shanahan. You wanted to hire his dad the last time. Like, just go hire the boy and get him a quarterback that he wants, and then let him do what he's got to do.
Okay, so if Kyle Shanahan is hired, there's somebody who might be available as a defensive coordinator next year. I have a question. Why won't Rex Ryan stop? You know, with the the speakerphone, the conference call with the media where he's lying about being a media member and he does his Belichick impression. Why, this all leads to him losing by 30 points on Sunday. Why? What does he have to gain here? I don't get it. Do you understand this?
I don't. I don't know. Maybe he's sick of Buffalo. Maybe he's like, yeah, I didn't really want to do this anyways.
He's George Costanza with the World Series trophy in the back of his car, right?
It's like, does he want to get fired? Does he want to get blown out? I don't know. But some people just can't help being them, you know, and perhaps this is the way he feels that he can best reach his team. The one thing that I do like is that he's trying to show his team, like, hey, we don't need to be intimidated by the Patriots. Yes, they've been the dominant team, not only in the division, but in the NFL for the past 15 years. You know what? Let's not treat them with kid gloves. Let's not bow down to them. I thought the message that he brought when he was the first time head coach with the New York Jets, of like, listen, I'm not here to bow down to Belichick. And it didn't necessarily work out. You know, they had some victories and they had some losses, and ultimately he lost his job. But that's the mindset you have to take. You can't. I would rather him go out there and be like, hey, you know what? He's funny. He's taunting them. He's doing his thing. But he's got to send a message to his team like, we can't be scared of these guys. We can respect them, but we can't be scared. I mean, I would like to say, like, that's the thing about Rex. Like, I would like to see him as a contestant on Jeopardy. And I would love to see him, like, taunting the other brainiacs. I mean, he would ultimately be mismatched and outclassed and everything like that. But it would be funny to see. So, additionally, as a spectator, I enjoy this stuff as well. So, I appreciate
WWE.
What he's doing. I enjoy a little bit. You know, build it up. Otherwise, why would people care what the Bills are doing right now? Why would anybody else care about this game? But Rex has made it interesting, so I do appreciate that.
Okay, so how about we go through some fantasy players, and then we give you want to give a thumbs up or a thumbs down? I'm trying to figure out how to label this segment. I'm very bad, though, at that, I guess. So how about...
We could do our own little version of like-dislike. We'll go thumbs up or thumbs down.
All right, great. Okay, so the player that might be playing quarterback for Bill Belichick this weekend, do you like Julian Edelman?
Yeah, thumbs up. You know, if I can get quarterback points for my wide receiver position, I'm going to take that. I do like the fact that they're going to go. I think it's a nice little bonus. I think that Belichick's got to find ways to amuse himself. Like when you're playing, you know, somebody, like you say, like you're playing your niece or nephew in Madden and you want to keep it a little spicy. You're like, all right, I'll play with Julian Edelman at quarterback. It would actually be what MJD does when he plays me. Like, oh, okay, I'll make it fair. I'll do this, you know? So add a little intrigue in real life. So I like it. I would play him definitely.
So do we like Terrell Pryor also then?
Yeah, definite thumbs up. I think he's going to be the target monster for the Cleveland Browns going forward. The one thing that I feel that too many people get wrapped up in when they're playing fantasy is like, who's the quarterback? Like, I can't trust this guy. It's the quarterback. For most intents and purposes, it doesn't matter. I know there was a few years ago when Max Hall was the quarterback of the Cardinals where it was truly miserable. But most of the time, you're looking at who's getting targets and how often they're getting targeted. And so Terrell Pryor is the only passing option there. Somehow they're not going to Duke Johnson enough. But between those two, those are the only guys who are drawing the eye of the quarterback. Gary Barnett is kind of in the mix a little bit as well, but Pryor is a monster target share guy, so I would definitely feel comfortable playing him.
Okay, thumbs up. So how about Cameron Brait with Austin Seferian Jenkins now out in Tampa Bay?
For the long haul, I'm going to give him a thumbs up. I might not necessarily play him this week against the Denver Broncos. We've seen that defense has really shut down some great quarterbacks over the last couple of months, going back to last season. The AFC Championship game sort of shut down Tom Brady. I'm not going to call that a complete shutdown.
It was close.
But then they did humiliate Cam Newton twice, actually, and they've beaten down some other good quarterbacks. So I like Jameis. I think he's a great player. And I even like Cameron Brait. I think that he can do some damage here on your fantasy teams. But this is probably going to be the week where I give him a little bit of a thumbs down.
Okay. Okay, so this player is playing your Chicago Bears. How do we feel about Dwayne Washington?
Monster thumbs up for Dwayne Washington. Huge fan of his when he was at Washington. I thought that must have been the easiest recruiting job ever. Like, what do they do? Just roll up and be like, dude, it's your last name. You got to go here. He's an explosive guy. And I think as more people get to see more of him, they're going to get really excited about what he's going to be able to do out on the field. This is one of the reasons why people should stay up late and watch the Pac-12 after dark, because it's a fun conference. You find a lot of cool players like this. And I think that he's walked into a really good role with Washington. I was kind of hopeful that he was going to get an opportunity. I knew he just needed to kind of leap over Amir Abdullah, but I was confident that was going to happen. He blew past Zach Center, who was like kind of a favorite last year. Like, people are really into him. But I look at this matchup this week. It's going to be pretty good. If the game breaks the way a lot of people are expecting it to, with the Lions getting out on top and getting a nice lead, he could be extensively featured in the second half, because that's something that didn't happen last week, was because the Lions fell behind so quickly. They really weren't in a position to establish the run, which meant more Theo Riddick. So we didn't get a really good look at him. So this is going to be the week where he's going to be able to go out, showcase his talent, and anybody who wasn't able to pick him up on the waiver wire over the last couple of weeks. His fantasy and friends have been pumping this guy for weeks, and I think they might have mentioned him on Fantasy Live, like, finally yesterday. But
shots fired.
I'm just stating the facts. I think a lot of people are going to like it. So I like a bunch of these Lions this week. I have so many Lions on all of my teams. It feels dirty. But you know what? I want to win, so that's what I'm doing.
And when you have Lions on your team, you get to talk about Jim Bob Cooter, so there's an added benefit. You get to
that
say Jim Bob Cooter all day.
It's been pretty legit. Like, it seemed like a little bit of a joke when he took over, and you're like, all right, Jim Bob, you're like, is he not trying? Like, what is he doing? Like, you've got to know that your name's ridiculous. Like, you not know? Like, how do you exist in life not knowing? It's like people with the name Richard that insist by going by Dick. Like, do you not know what it means? Like, okay.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's fun.
How do you feel about Jordan Howard?
I'm a big fan. I'm going to give him a thumbs up. I think that he is going to be given the opportunity to be the every down back for the Bears. I think the only thing that really kept him from being a start of his season was John Fox's reluctance to rely on a rookie. And so now that he's been given this chance, mostly because of injury, but also because he's looked really good when given an opportunity. But now we're going to see a full sample size from him. We're going to really get a glimpse of what he's going to be able to do. And the Lions have allowed a lot of rushing yards this season. They've been pretty good at keeping teams out of the end zone, but you know what? That's three games. That's a wild swing of variance. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jordan Howard, if he punches two in this week, then the numbers look different. So just kind of look at what's been going on in the games. Teams have been able to run on them. So I would expect that this is going to be a good test for Howard. If he can run against the team, then you should feel confident. If he can't get going against the Lions, that's when you should have a little bit of a red flag to be like, we might need to take a closer look. But also realize that the Bears have had some flux on the offensive line. They have a guy playing center who never played center before. They added Sinton at the last minute. So they have some talent there. It's just going to take them a little bit of time to get that going. I love the guards and everything, and so
mm-hmm.
they've got talent there. It's now just a matter of putting it all together. But I would definitely start Howard this week. Although if you have both of them, if you've been pressing enough to grab both those guys, because I have both of them in a couple of weeks. I'm actually going with Washington over Howard.
Okay. Okay, sweet. Okay, serious question time now. Okay, are you ready for this?
Okay.
Very serious. So you can either live in a world where the first 10 seasons of The Simpsons are a real thing and readily available to you, or a world where the last 10 seasons of South Park are a real thing and readily available to you. If you flip worlds, you can't watch one of the other shows. Okay, so it's either South Park or The Simpsons. What world do you choose?
I'm going to go with The Sims. Oh, my goodness
yeah.
gracious. No, I'm going to go with the... Oh, my God. Simpsons. I guess Simpsons seems like the easiest answer, but the one thing that I really enjoy about South Park is how quickly they can turn around
mm-hmm.
Their production and really, really hit hard socially. I think, though, The Simpsons never gets enough credit for their social commentary because theirs is probably a little bit more subtle.
Yeah.
South Park is a great, I love South Park. I love everything about it. But they're more over the, they're very blunt. They're very aggressive. Like, you definitely know what they're thinking. The Simpsons, you got to think about it a little bit more. And plus those early season Simpsons, you also get, Phil Hartman.
Yes.
So I think that's what's pushing it over the top for me. But yeah, because I think Phil Hartman is the GOAT. Like, he's the best Saturday Night Live guy of all time. It's tough. I mean, you weren't kidding. That was a tough question, but I'm going to go Simpsons.
I think I agree with you. Okay, so are you reading any comic books right now? Any ongoing series that you're into?
You know, I'm trying to get as much into, read as much as possible right now, but it's tough during the season. Plus, I have a small child. You know what I need to do is I need to be better about, like, not sitting up. Like, I love when everybody goes to bed, like, on the weekends, like Friday nights. I'll usually, like, sit there and read a bunch of things, but it's usually off the internet. I'm like, I got to stop this. I got a stack of comic books I still need to get into. I have a stack of all the in-canon Star Wars books.
Okay.
The Darth Vader one's really good. There's a Princess Leia one. I've also got these books. Like, they're not comic books, but they're actually written books that are in canon. A cool book that really goes back and talks about the story of Finn, Rey, and Poe Dameron. Like, gives their backstory, because it's, like, really interesting, like, to realize that if you watch The Force Awakens, like, one of the stormtroopers recognizes him, and at first you're like, that's pretty random, like, how would these guys know that this dude's a traitor? Like, how would you?
Mm-hmm.
But they have a backstory of the kid, of the stormtrooper that's killed right at the very beginning and everything. So it really puts everything into a full picture. So that's been really cool to read. Started kicking off the Batman Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles crossover, which I know a lot of people thought that was a stupid gimmick, but I'm really enjoying it. So I think that's been pretty cool.
I think who think it's a stupid gimmick don't need to be in your life. I think those people can just leave. If I want to read comic books where Batman meets the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, let me live my life.
I know. It's like, this is the great, like, this is the thing that makes Batman unbelievable to you. Like, come on. I'm really enjoying that. So those guys, that crossover has been really good. I think it's cool. I don't want to. Yeah, I'm with you. Who cares? If you don't like it, then don't worry about it. Don't read it.
Six months ago, I made the transfer from all digital to going back to buying the books. And let me say, that's the life changer. You got to go back to the books. If I could suggest anything, like, having the book in your hand is just, you forget how great it is. The digital stuff's great, but having it in your hand is where it's at.
Yeah, but, I'm with you. It's funny though, because I only read the DC titles.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, that's not true if I'm reading Marvel Star Wars. That's not true. I do read Marvel. The one thing, though, is because Marvel has the $10 all you can read.
Yeah.
That I'm thinking about doing. I don't know. Somebody told me that they have the Star Wars books in there. I'm like, that might be worth it to go read the Star Wars ones that way. But I, I kind of wish that DC did the same, but I'm with you. I do like having the books around and everything. And,
you know what Stan Lee said about digital comic books, right?
What did he say?
He said that comic books are like boobs. They're nice to look at online, but better to have in your hands.
Oh, dang. That's what Stan Lee, man. Yeah. He probably stole that line from somebody.
All right. Last question. What was the last album that you bought? So no streaming services count. The last album that you've bought. CD, vinyl, tape, whatever.
So nothing digitally.
No, if you paid money for the album digitally, it counts. But actually, like, so not, it couldn't be a part of like a streaming service. If you actually downloaded it and bought the album, then that counts.
Oh, yeah, because I have Amazon Prime. So I download a bunch of albums that way. Wow. You know what? I wanted to go purchase this. I didn't do it. Can I do one that's on my bucket list that I want to go get?
Sure.
If it's available on vinyl. One of my favorite albums is the Beastie Boys' Paul's Boutique, which was their second one after License to Ill. And a lot of people didn't like it. There's really not a lot of signature songs coming off of it except for Hey Ladies, but when you listen to it cover to cover, it's really amazing. Like, it really flows and ties together, so it's a cool experience, you know. And like, when you think of the Beastie Boys and you think of all their hits, you don't really think of just sitting down and listening to one album cover to cover. So that was it. That would probably be it. That's on my bucket list to go purchase. I know that I also bought the new Blink 182. So I got
I haven't bought that one yet. Is it? Is that worth a purchase there?
I like it. I'm a big fan of theirs. I was a teenager going to shows, and they were like the band. They were the band that would open for the band you were kind of going to see. They would open for like Real Big Fish. And there was another band, like, it would do the Aquabats, Blink 182, and Real Big Fish. And we would always go to these shows, and we'd be like, I think that Blink 182 band, I think they were better than Real Big. And, you know, we'd have these debates. Like, no, man, I think they're on the cusp. And then all of a sudden they became big stars. And like, I told you. So.
Yeah, I think a little bit of me will always be a fifth grader listening to Eminem of the State. That album, I think I've listened to that album 1,000 times or something. I love it. So I'll have to go check that out. Adam Rank, thank you so much.
Oh, listen, the pleasure was all on this side of the phone. I really do. I'm grateful that you would give me an opportunity to sit here and spew nonsense for more than a half hour. It's very, very kind of you. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, anytime you want to spew nonsense, you just call me up. I'll hit record, and then we'll make podcast magic.
Yeah, we'll all do it again. So, don't lose my number, and we'll make this. We'll do this again, hopefully very soon.
Awesome. All right. Can't wait. Thanks. That was Adam Rank. What a great guy he is. Okay. So you can follow Adam Rank on Twitter at Adam Rank, and you can watch him live on NFL Network Monday through Wednesday and Friday at 6 Eastern, 5 Central, Fantasy and Friends. It's a great show. I think if you write them a letter or something, you can Skype in. I don't know exactly how it works, but so, okay, me and David Rossi, I know you're dying to hear our game picks. We picked those games last Wednesday, so you're going to hear us pick the Dolphins game. We got that one right, so I'm very proud of us. But that part's going to start up. You're going to hear my inside joke to David, because I made a joke about how, you know, we're filming this out of order or taping it. I don't know. Let's just go on with the podcast. Hey, David. Wasn't that an awesome segment I just did with Adam Rank?
It was the best segment I've heard you do this week.
This week, okay. Okay, so, hey, okay, so I have a new thing I want to get into with you. I think, okay, so my two best calls this year have been the Patriots money line over Cardinals in week one, and then the Vikings +7. They didn't even need the +7. They would have won in a money line situation, but against the Panthers. I think we have been far too conservative. What do you think about that?
I completely agree. And, I think I needed like a few days to get over my woes. I'm totally over it now. I'm not planning to come back strong, but what I'm going to do counteract myself. If I think the Jets are going to win, I'm betting against the Jets. It's just I'm going pure reverse psychology on myself. It seems to be the way to get me out of this funk.
Yeah, I think that's the only thing we can do at this point. Okay, so do you want to go through the games?
Let's do it.
Okay, so first off on Thursday we have Miami traveling to one of the Queen Cities, Cincinnati, where the Bengals are favored by 7.5. What say you?
7.5. The Bengals are going to cover that.
Oh, obviously. But I don't even think
it's going to be close.
You think it's going to be close?
I think it's going to be one of those dumb close games where, you know, for example, how the Bills completely blew out the Cardinals, or the Steelers didn't even score a touchdown on the stupid Eagles.
Yeah,
you know?
This is going to be one of those color rush games, though. So Miami will be wearing all orange, and the Bengals will be wearing all white. Maybe the home crowd will get confused. They'll be cheering at the wrong times. Who knows what will happen? Okay, so we both.
Yeah,
like
you know, this color rush thing is stupid, too. I don't get it. Why is all white a color? I don't understand that.
Because it's an alternate jersey, and people in Cincinnati will buy another Andy Dalton jersey, maybe. Like,
okay,
I'm going to buy a second Russell Wilson jersey. But, yeah, okay. So then we have in London, all right, we have Indianapolis playing the Jaguars. The Colts are -2.5 favorites. We know Andrew Luck sucks, right? But Blake Bortles sucks even more. That's my analysis for this game. That's all I have.
No, give me the Jags in London, baby.
Oh, yeah. Okay, that makes two. Oh, by the way, I won, 3-1 last week?
Yes.
You're going to be buying me a steak. That's all I know. Okay. So then we have the game that nobody's going to watch. We have Cleveland traveling to our nation's capital. The Washington Football Organization is 7.5-point favorites. Kirk Cousins is a bum. I'll take Terrell Pryor at quarterback. Give me those points.
What is the spread there? I didn't hear it.
7.5 in favor of the Washington football team.
Wow. Give me those points.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, so we both like the Browns. I'm going to make a note of this. This might be the only time we both take the Browns. Okay, then we have...
Is Josh Gordon coming back this week?
No, it's next week.
Next week?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's currently fighting his
paternity
suit.
That's fine. I still want those points.
Yeah, me too. Okay.
Yes.
So then we have the Panthers traveling to the division-leading Falcons, who are seeming to get it off the ground. Or actually, they're keeping it on the ground with Coleman and Freeman. They have the mans on the running back. I'm taking Atlanta. They're going to be piping in crowd noise. They have, they have all kinds of. They have the Dirty Bird. What do the Panthers have? They have nothing.
You know, no. The Panthers are going to smoke them.
That's what you said about the Vikings last week.
Yeah. Well, I turned out to be wrong.
Yes.
As you can't be perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. Once you come to terms with that, you know, it gets a lot easier.
But if you strive for perfection, you will obtain greatness. Vince Lombardi said
that's
that.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay. So how about your Chicago Bears playing the Detroit Lions, hosting the Lions? They are home dogs. The Lions are 3-point favorites.
That's really funny.
Jay Cutler practiced today. Yeah.
Yes. Wow, look at that.
We are in sync.
Yeah.
Man, I can't believe the answer I got from...
Taking those Bears, baby.
You're taking the Bears? I'm taking the
Lions, dude. Give me those points.
Oh, my God. Okay, you can have those points all day. I love Marvin Jones. Hopefully Theo Reddick gets it. What?
One of these weeks coming up,
yeah,
the Bears are going to pull one out, and I'm going to get a point back on you. It's just, like,
yeah,
it's
but if
bound
you lose
to happen.
6 points, and then you get the one, what good are you? What good does that do you?
Yeah, I haven't taken the Bears all season. Only, like, 3 out of 4 games now.
The Bears are a bottom 3 team. They're competing with the 49ers and the Browns for the worst team in the league.
Yeah, they're really, really bad.
So the draft has been in Chicago for the last 2 weeks, or for the last 2 years, the draft has been in Chicago. Now it moves out of Chicago. They're going to have the number one pick. It would have been much more fun for them to have the number one pick while it was in Chicago.
Wait. Yeah, that would have been sweet.
Okay, so J.J. Watt is dead. I'm very sad about it, but J.J. Watt is dead. But the Texans are still 5-point favorites over the Titans. The Texans are the home team. I don't know what to think because I was kind of falling in love with the Texans. I loved Will Fuller. Then you got Hopkins. I was kind of buying into Osweiler. Then last Thursday night happened. Oh, hey, our mutual friend.
Yeah, they cheated on you, man. They've cheated on you. You're not in love with them anymore.
I'm not. But our mutual friend Richard Reasons wanted me to go over on the podcast what happened in that Thursday night game, the Patriots-Texans game. This is what they did, Richard. Are you ready for this? They played two high safeties, right? They dared them to dink and dunk. And, you know, after a while, Osweiler's just going to force a ball downfield. Jamie Collins got that interception. And that was it, baby. That was my analysis of what happened. So hopefully Richard likes that. Do you like Richard still? You guys are all friends, right?
See, Richard's never cheated on me like the Texans have cheated on you. I'll love Richard till the day I die.
We need to get our Nintendo text message group going back again, the three of us, where we just complain about Nintendo and how they've hurt our feelings.
I like that group chat. That one's fun.
I'm going to start that back up after we're done with this pod. Okay, I'm still taking the Texans -5, I think.
Yeah, I don't hate that, but I'm taking the points.
Okay.
Because.
David Carr, I was going to say he's handsome. He's not really handsome, though, but he's traveling to Baltimore this week where Joe Flacco's failing himself. They're 3-0 up there. The Oakland Raiders are the 3-point dogs, and I like the dogs. Khalil Mack is going to get off the mat. That almost rhymed, but it didn't. And give me Cooper and all those fellas over Baltimore, because Baltimore is a very fake 3-0, I think.
Yeah. God, I'm siding with you here, only because I don't think you could have put it any better. They're fake 3-0.
All right. So I'm great at putting stuff. All right. So now Trevor Siemian and his Broncos are going to the Buccaneers, where they're going to meet my other love. I love a lot of football teams, but they're going to go play Jameis Winston and the Buccaneers. Emmanuel Sanders had a great game last week, and you know Von Miller's the best now that J.J. Watt's out. But you know how I feel. I'm taking the points, and I'm taking the Bucs. 3-point dogs at home. I'm taking the Bucs.
The Broncos are going to shut Jameis Winston down, John.
Don't you say that about Jameis.
You know, he hurt my feelings. Like, I know, you know, he was all lovey-dovey with you, but in week two, he hurt my feelings. I was talking big on him, and then he embarrassed me and himself.
Yeah, I can't argue with that.
No. Mm-mm.
Nope. You know who's embarrassing
themselves? I'm taking the Broncos.
You know who's embarrassing themselves?
Who?
The San Francisco 49ers are 3-point home dogs to the rookie Dak Prescott and the Dallas Cowboys. And I'm still taking the Cowboys -3. How about that? Des Bryant won't be out there, but Cole Beasley is out there, and he's the next best thing ever. Talk about, you know, he's going to the 49ers to play the 49ers. You know, Cole Beasley's going to come out as the next Jerry Rice. I went too far there, but I'm taking the Cowboys -3.
Yeah, a very subtle Cowboys -3 for me as well. Only because one reason and one reason only. Colin Kaepernick is still talking about social injustice, and it makes me so angry because he's a backup quarterback. His opinion should matter for nothing.
I disagree with you on that. But do you know what I find interesting about Colin Kaepernick? He recently realized that, like, he needs to eat meat. Like, he became a vegetarian over the offseason. Then he was like, oh, wait, no, I weigh way too little. I need to gain weight now if I'm going to be a quarterback. It's like, oh, yeah, good job, man.
How much weight did he lose?
He lost a lot of weight. Look at photos. I mean, you need to, because the thing is, like, people always talk about Russell Wilson and, like, how short he is and how, like, but he's so thick. You know, he's a thick man. But
yeah,
Kaepernick is like, he has like 6 inches on him, but he's like rail thin.
That's true. Russell Wilson's got the ghetto booty that Colin Kaepernick wishes he had.
Oh, yeah. I wish I had a drop for that, but I don't. Oh, I don't have the Seahawks line. They're probably waiting until it's official that Russell Wilson does play against the Jets, which we all know he will because he's the next coming of Brett Favre. I said it! But we'll have to text each other, and that will be off the pod. But things that are on the pod, how about this? We have the Scorn ex-lover, Drew Brees, going back to San Diego where his career began, and he's getting no respect. The Chargers are 3.5-point favorites. I'm taking the Chargers? Question mark. That's what I'm taking. I'm taking the Chargers -3, question mark.
No. You got to take them because I'm taking the Saints, baby.
All right, you take the Saints. My pick has a question mark next to it. Not that that counts for anything. It just has a question
Here,
mark.
Here, how about this? How about I give you the Chargers -4, and I'll take the Saints +4.
Why would I lose a half point?
Think about it.
I will think about it, but while I'm thinking about that, how about you think about the Rams going to Arizona? Arizona is -7.5.
No, that spread's wrong.
That spread is wrong. Which way do you think it's wrong?
Give me the Rams.
Yeah, I'm taking the Rams too. I think the Cardinals win, but it's not by 7 points. Man, yes. The Cardinals have looked.
Did you
awful.
Say? Did you say? Did you say? Did you say the Rams are at home or they're going to Arizona?
They're going to Arizona.
Doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. Okay. How about this? This is your Sunday night game. You have Alex Smith, and you know his lonesome Chiefs are traveling to Pittsburgh, the team that was just embarrassed by Carson Wentz. We bet on Pittsburgh last week because we're idiots, you know. And when you sent me that text saying that Carson Wentz was basically cheating on his girlfriend with his game film, that's when we should have known we were in trouble. That's the moment we should have said, you know what? Do we make the bet at that point? If we made the bet after that, then we're idiots.
I don't remember when we made, when in what time interval the bet came between that text message. However, okay. I'm riding this train.
Okay.
I hate Carson Wentz more than I've hated any other quarterback, only
wow.
because he lost me money. Yes. But, you know, I mean, to each his own. Anyways, no, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Big Ben should have showed him how it was done.
Uh-huh.
But now,
the hyperbole is off the rails on this Carson Wentz fellow. People are saying that he's Aaron Rodgers and the next Peyton Manning, and Doug Peterson's comparing him to Brett Favre, you know? So it's happening. The Wentzylvania. So I'm taking...
No, but really?
Yeah.
But really? I mean, he's probably just getting lucky.
I don't know, man. I have no idea. I can't read it. I don't know. I'll tell you what. I love me some dick. How about the Rams and not playing Jared Goff yet after everything we've seen rookies do so far this year?
Because he doesn't know which way the sun sets.
No, he doesn't. All right. I am taking Chiefs +5. That was the game you were talking about, by the way.
Yeah, I just remembered that. God. Yeah, Kansas City.
Alrighty, and then
I'm headed there.
You're heading
there.
You're heading to Pittsburgh.
I'm Kansas City.
You're moving to Kansas City. Is that breaking news?
No. I'm just going there for this weekend.
Oh, are you and Katie going? Can I say Katie's name
on
the pod?
Mm-hmm.
Why doesn't Katie listen
to
the pod?
What?
Can I say Katie's name on the pod? Can we talk about Katie?
Yeah.
Let's make Katie like a cartoon character on the show.
But like a good one or a bad one?
I don't know. We'll figure it out.
Okay.
What are you and Katie doing in Kansas City? Eating barbecue?
Well, yeah. We're going for a wedding, but there's this gas station that I heard that has awesome barbecue, so I want to stop there. And that's like pretty much all that's on my plate. Oh, we're going to a baseball game.
Monday night. I'm going to edit the last I'm gonna none of this is gonna make it to air. I mean, I'm just gonna shoot out the Adam Rank interview, and then that's gonna be it. Okay, Monday night, Giants, Vikings at home. Stephon Diggs, Odell Beckham, Sam Bradford, Eli Manning, Ben McAdoo, Mike Zimmer, other people. Vikings -4.5, and that is my pick. Because when you go to Minnesota, yeah.
I don't care that they're going to Minnesota. We've said it before, and I'll say it again. You don't bet on or against Eli Manning ever.
Are you absolving?
So give me the points, baby.
Oh, you're taking the points. So you're taking Eli.
I'm taking him.
You're a brave man.
It takes a brave man to gain from the,
I think you're just
the hole I'm in, John.
Who would you take right now? You can take Eli Manning and Odell or Sam Bradford or Diggs for the next five games.
Eli and Odell.
Do you have any theories about do you have any theories about the Nintendo NX?
No, but I did see the Nintendo hype train come around on the internet the other day, and nothing makes me smile more than Reggie's face on that start of that train flying through space.
Oh man, we need to have just the Nintendo podcast whenever the NX is officially, like, the name is dropped or they show, like, what it is. Nobody even knows what it is at this point. So that's something to look forward to if you like Nintendo. I was wearing a, have you ever seen my shirt with Princess Peach coming out of the GameCube or the Game Boy and, like, it looks like the ring? You know that?
I
was wearing this shirt out the other day, and then this dude took out his phone and was showing me his, like, kitchen table. And I was like, oh, that's cool. Like, it looks like an NES controller. Like, cool, guy. He's like, no, keep watching this video. And then his son is, like, playing the table. And then he's like, isn't that pretty cool? And I don't know. He's a dude's pretty big. So I'm like, yeah, man, that's cool. And then, like, he's getting in my face because, like, I'm not, like, ecstatic enough about his, like, craftsmanship. He's like, come on, man. Us gamers have to stick together. Like, dude, I'm in a coffee shop. I'm trying to eat, like, I was eating, like, this cookie dough chocolate chip thing. That was, I don't know. Was this an appropriate place to vent about this Nintendo bro coming at me? I don't know.
Yeah,
I did it, though.
Absolutely, because, well, I mean, think about it, John. That's not fair. How can he judge how excited you are based on things that he's done? That's not fair. That's not fair to you.
I didn't, like, pull out my phone and was like, hey, check out this. I interviewed Jim O'Hare on my first podcast ever. Listen to this. You know what? And when I wear, like, this nerdy attire that I do, you know, my Nintendo garb or whatever, no woman ever walks up to me and is like, hey, look at my kitchen table. It's always, like, just some, like, guy with, like, bad breath and unkept hair. Hey, come over to my place. We'll play Nintendo. No! Leave me alone!
I have a question.
Sure.
Do you think that girls that would appreciate your Nintendo shirts are the type of girls that you want to be surrounding yourself with?
I don't think it matters because it doesn't matter because, like, girls who, like, are attractive who like Nintendo just date attractive guys who don't like Nintendo. You don't date somebody because, like, you both like Mario Brothers. You know, are you engaged to Katie because she plays Nintendo Wii?
No, I'm actually engaged to her because she's really bad at Mario Party, and every time I play her, I just to the ground, and then she threatens to stop playing. So then I have to be nice. But I mean, to answer your question,
okay. All right. So, are we gonna make any bets this weekend?
So, what was your question?
Are we gonna make any bets this weekend? I don't see anything.
No, none of these games are really jumping off the page.
Yeah, I don't know. We could take a bye week.
See, I don't mind that, at all. Are you still recording us?
Yeah, I'm still recording us. I'm deleting all of this. The podcast this week is just my Adam Rank interview. Last week it was no guest, just lines. This week it'll be just a guest, no lines.
Yeah,
I'll flip it.
That's perfect.
Well, what are you going to say? Do you want me to stop recording?
We're not making any bets, and no one should take any.
Did I just lose you? David.
Yeah.
Did you just cut out, or did you just stop mid-sentence there?
Oh, I must have cut out. Shit.
You cut out.
Yeah, you should stop recording.
Okay. Yeah, I'll just record my own wrap-up thing. So you will not hear the Pokemon music that I illegally use. I'm going to talk more. What a fun episode it's been of Forward Past Thinking Audio Content. I know you've already subscribed to the podcast, but now it is time to rate it 5 stars, please, and leave a comment saying how great it is. All right? Thank you to our guest, Adam Rank. As always, David Rossi has been a ton of fun. Thank you to everybody who's been listening. You should follow me on Twitter if you haven't. Jonders, FPT, Jonders. It's in the description. Just go do it. Thank you to everybody. Until next week, bye.